at the top. Chof test on base. We didn't, only did a blind and a half yesterday. No. Correct place. 58.
Oh.
Okay. Chof test on base 58. 29 times 2 equals 58. Okay. Says no further.
Where were you now?
Second line. Rabbi Yossi.
Okay.
Rabbi Yossi Abba Ksuva Medrash. Rabbi Yossi darshan the Ksuva language of the Ksuva. He expounded upon it. Darsh Rabbi Yossi, how so? He expounded the following. Malkam Shnagu Lassos Ksuva Milve, in a place where the Ksuva is made into a loan. Now that's actually the way we write a Ksuva today. Today we don't write, she brought in 2 chairs and 6 cows and 5 pieces of jewelry. Rather we write that he the Chosin accepted upon himself the entire Ksuva for a Besula, for 100 skukim Kesef Tzaruf. And added on another 100 skukim kesef tzaruf zakuk, approximately an ounce, but we don't, not precisely. And then for a amana for a woman who already had relations in her life before she got married, we write 50 skukim. Okay, so we don't actually set the dowry down precisely. We just put it on a generic sum for the dowry. Except on the Sephardim. Sephardim actually write custom sums, yeah, and usually astronomical sums. But in any event, so since we write it that way, Goyves Hako, she gets divorced or dies or the husband dies, she gets that entire sum, whatever's written. Lichpo, however, like I just mentioned, the Sephardim write astronomical sums. They had such a minhag back then. They had a minhag to write double the value of the Nedunya in the Ksuba. So then, it should be Eina Goiva, she only collects Elamechta, half. In other words, if it's well known that the sum is inflated in those wet places, then they when they get died, at the end of the marriage, when the marriage is terminated, then she gets back half of what it says. Rabbi Lezer of a Ksuba Medrash. Now, this is an interesting Medrash. Rabbi Lezer Akfar, the of a Ksuba Medrash. How so? Dorsh Rabbi Lezer Akfar. Rabbi Lezer Akfar, by the way, lived in Katsrin, which soon will be Syrian territory. It's really great on my nerves, this whole business. Darash Rabbi Lezer Akfar, Ein Adam Rashad L'Likach Behema Chai V'Of. A person is not allowed to buy an animal of any sort, unless he has proper food for them. Why? It's learned out from a woman. You're not supposed to get married until you pledge your wife food, right? That's part of the ksuva. So too, your animals should be pledged food as well. Rabbi Shimon Karcha of a ksuva medrash. Shimon Karcha expound the medrash. Darash Rabbi Shimon Karcha. And it's not talking about a real ksuva. Ksuva here is used in the larger sense of a document. He says, he loans money to his friend. Lo yimash kinenu. He may not take collateral from him. Now, instead of being Eila Bebeisim, it should be Yosem Yichovo. The collateral may not be more than the value of the loan. And Lo Yikonis Lebeisim Litomas Mashkono, he shouldn't come into his house to take the collateral, but wait till the collateral is extended to him. Now, how do you know this business that you shouldn't take collateral for more than the loan? Shekinah Kreis, this is written into the document of a loan. He writes, the borrower writes to the lender, Tashluma, the payment or reimbursement mean nichsayah will come from my property, the asiyonli which will come to me with the eknan which I will acquire the kavel dinah from here on in. So it sounds like tashluma, the precise payment, no more than that. Okay, so therefore the collateral should never be worth more than the actual value of the loan. Rav Huna of Aksuma Medrash. Rav Huna expounded on language written in a document. Darash Rav Huna expounded the following way. Habanim Yirshu, it says in the Ksuva. We don't write these things anymore, but it's taken for granted that it's as if it's written. Habanim Yirshu, boys inherit. Vabanos Yizonu, and the girls, they get fed. They don't inherit, but they get fed as long as they're not married. Habanim Yirshu Mesa Metaflin, and so there's a linkage drawn in the Ksuva between the boys and the girls. Just like the boys inherit movable objects, Afabonos, these are the smithalians, so to the daughters, they get fed not just from real estate, but even from movable objects. Shmuel Amar, Ein Abonos, Dizonos, Minatatlin. Girls are not sustained from movable objects, only from real estate. Masnisa, Messiah, the Shmuel, Fahim, Brysa seems to be a proof to Shmuel, which Brysa, it says, Benon Nukvan, the heavenly Chiminoi, the daughters which you have, which I have from you, the husband writes to his wife, Yon Yasfam Abesi, they should dwell in my house, Umitzam in Chasi, and be sustained from my property, Adis Nasvon Leguvrin, until they marry people. The Tanya law, we learn concerning this, that it's talking about, Minam Karg, when it says, Nichs Nichsam Nichasai, my property, it means from real estate and not from movable objects. Amar Rabbi Bar Zavda said, as the other Rabbuna said, they also get fed from movable objects. Goes like Rabbi in the following argument, Ud Shmuel says they only can get their sustenance from the sale of real estate. Goes like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in the following argument, the Tani, we learned in a Braisa, Echon the Chosim Shish Lamachrayas, both property which has guarantee, meaning real estate, Vechon the Chosim Shish Lamachrayas, property which has no guarantee, meaning movable objects, Nifroim Ehen, one may take redemption from them, Lemozon Ha'ish of Abonos, for the sustaining of a woman and her daughters, Divei Rabbi. So it means both real estate and movable objects. Rabbi Shimon Elazar he says, Nechasim Sheesh Lemachrayas, property which has guarantee, i.e. real estate, Habonim Motzi Habonim, if some kids took a greater share than the other, some boys took a greater share than the other boys, unjustifiably, we redivide. Habonos Motzi Esmin Habonos, and if some daughters took more than a share, of the food which they're supposed to get, also we redivide. Vahabonim min habonos, if the daughters have more than they need, then the sons take from them. Vahabonim min habonim, if the daughters have less than they need, then they take from the sons. Vishayelam achrayas, that's all real estate, but movable objects, stuff which is not guaranteed. Habonim motzi min habonos, the boys take away from the girls, meaning, if the girls grabbed onto it, and it's excessive, then the boys take it back from them. The girls go down for their sustenance. However, daughters cannot take from the sons, meaning movable objects are not under lien to the girls for their food.
What if they're starving?
Tough. So they go to the soup kitchen. So what we're saying here is, well, not every evil can we write. So we say here, obviously, is that the daughters can only get sustained from real estate, not from movable objects, right? That's like Shmuel said. Chazebe Ravuna, and Ravuna reneged, and said, indeed, the daughters only get sustained from movable objects. Armin, they said, Yos! It's not a good thing that he reneged. Because he wanted to learn out from Yerusha, from the, just like by inheritance. It says your Ksuba, but it should say Yerusha. He wanted to learn out, just like inheritance. We say it's the children inherit both movable and immovable objects. So too by the mizonos, it's both movable and immovable objects. But not true. Yerusha midivrei, again, I should say Yerusha not ksuva. Yerusha is the raisa, most of the abundance of divrei, and the sustaining of the daughters is the rabbanim. One can't extrapolate one from the other. And the Gemara says, but divrei, it's a continuation of this assertion. But divrei, do you think their words, it should be, instead of okindvar, should be lemeidim midivrei Torah? You think you learn out the abundance of the raisas? They're obviously not. So therefore, for sure, if they get sustained, it's only from land and not from movable objects. So says the Gemara, Ela bekesel ksuva simon pligi. They argue about the money for the ksuva of her mother, Now this is a very interesting issue. Well, the means of Huna and Shmuel actually argue a different issue, because it's partial that for Muslim they can only take it from real estate. But the question is like this: there's a halacha of ksuvas bani dichrin. Ksuvas bani dichrin is the ksuva given to the male kids. Meaning that before a man marries a wife, sometimes he guarantees her that if she predeceases him, her money, her estate will go to, not him, which would be the normal drabana, but will go to her kids. That's ksuvas bain dichrin, ksuva for her male children. So, when it says Ksuvas Bain Dichrim gives her estate to her children, is that only karkos, only real estate, or also metalsling? That's the machlokas shin Rav Huna and Shmuel. Okay.
Now, was this nechasim that she came into the marriage with?
Yeah. Yeah, her dowry. Okay. So I have a keskus on pliga. I feel tema, so says my, wait a minute. I feel tema. But the kes exclusive on pliga. You may want to say that they're talking about the money for the ksuvas bayin dichrin, right? So the kes ksuvas iman lav karkai isn't the money for the isn't money set aside for her mother, for the mother ksuva from karka. In other words, it's well known, he says here, that it's a ksuva, that it's like any other ksuva. Ksuva's bayin, regular ksuva. The wife can't collect from metalklin. She can't collect from ulav. She can't collect from land. So the ksuvas bayin dichrin is also only from land. So therefore, Rav Huna, when he proposed before that you can collect also from movable objects, is clearly incorrect. Okay, and that's the end of that sugya. Now we go to the new one.
The husband doesn't inherit the wife's.
Well, that's the ksuvas bayin dichrin, which is meant to combat that. It became standard that he would relinquish that right, even though it was the right which was granted him in the deraisa, the rabbana, but he was willing to relinquish it for the greater good of the marriage. In other words, that she should be willing to die.
She died.
Yeah, but she has to write this to him.
Oh,
but he has to write this to her in advance, right?
Like
it's a prenuptial. That's right. It's a good example. Yes, it's a prenuptial. That's really what it is. Okay. So says more further. Hayor l'nichsa ishto. This is not really directly related to Arsulia, but anyway, it's here. Hayor l'nichsa ishto. A person goes down to his wife's property. In other words, he's down there working the fields. And the stinker, Benasin ain't a bull of garsha. He wants to divorce her. But in the meantime, bottom line is bottom line. The kavats mina talish mina karka. He made a land grab. Not actually a land grab, but a fruit grab. Went down and God took out of the land whatever fruit he could find. So says Mara races Aris Miniskar. He's a diligent fellow and he gains profits by his activities, right? Hayol Nichse Shvuin. If somebody goes down to a similarly a person that his family is taken to captivity, and he goes down and cultivates the property, and he hears that the captive is coming back, and he goes down and makes a grab of the fruit, he's diligent or hasty, and he's profits as a result. Early bird catches the worm.
He might justify himself because he worked the land, so he's entitled to the benefits.
Right, it's possible to justify it like that. I mean, so obviously, the worm doesn't feel as a thief, so yeah, obviously there must be some justification. Right? Says the Gemara, ve'eluei nichsei shvuyin, what's it to be property of a captive? Kol shach ovi v'o'echav. Anytime his father or his brother or echad mikol morishin also, or any of the people who have the potential to bequeath them property, goes to Medina Sayam, goes to Chutzlart, and nishma leim shemesu, and what they heard, it was heard, a rumor went about that they died, and therefore viyardu l'nachla, and then they went down into the property. So even later, the dead people walk, and they come back again. So whatever property they ate, they're off the hook, okay? Because they were legit. Avenichse netushim motzin hem biyodim. However, that's only by this property where there was people taken captive. What about netushim? People who fled. Ve'elei nichsei netushim. What's the nichsei netushim? Kol shach aviv v'o'echem mikom mikom marishim osol l'mdias yam. Anytime his father, one of the other bequeathers, went to chutz laret, ve'lo shamalein shemesu, and he didn't hear that they died, but he knew when they had time, when they didn't have time before he left to explain the circumstances of their departure, right? So therefore, in this case, it says here that Netushim, according to one opinion, is this which you just learned, is not the same as Shvuyim, right? Because you don't know that they died. You don't even know their captivity. No, they didn't voluntarily leave. That's actually the next case. They were pressed to leave. But
like the Palestinians in 48.
I don't even know if that's... Maybe. Let's say it's like the Palestinians in 48. So it says the Gemara, however, so there also you can go down to their property. And if you, whatever you can copyright, whatever you can get out, grab out. However, what about there's a machlokas here, I'm sorry. First opinion is you can't take it out. You have to take it away from him. They died. Went down. So according to the Kami, you actually don't let them eat. Right? We take away the fruit from them. The people who come and take the place of the Natush, we don't let them stay. That's one opinion. Rashi Gamliel argues, and he says, Shamati, and whether they're Shvuyim or Netushim, the Shvuyim are taken captives, or Netushim left on their own. The status is the same, that you can go down and seize the property. But the property of a Ratush, a new concept. What's a Ratush? We'll see in a minute. Motzi'enem b'yadam. Then the heir apparent is now going on the field has to be left uncultivated. What are nechser tushim? They're like this. I'm glad you asked this more. Koshach aviv. Halachiv, anytime your father or your brother. Welcome to Kol Gomrishma. So anybody from whom you derive Yerusha. And now you no longer do know where he is. Okay, so it's therefore in this case, there's no way you can there's no way to express this. The other way, that's how I'll express it. In this case, he didn't leave all of a sudden. If he left all of a sudden, then we can say, well, Mistama, even if he was still alive, he wouldn't want somebody to go cultivate his field. But a Ratush is somebody who takes his time in leaving. You know, packs up its bags, you know, gets too late at night, he waits till the next day. So Ratush is somebody who he could have told us what to do with his property. If he wanted to dispense it. A Shavi has no time, he's just taken captive. A Natush has no time, he had to flee. But a Ratush is not as
hasty, thank you.
So a Ratush is not as hasty, so therefore he has time to command. If he didn't issue a command, so therefore we assume he doesn't want you down there, because otherwise he would have said something to that effect. Okay, is that clear? So the Ratush is property, if the guy takes it on his own, we take it out of his hands. Okay? Well, actually, you're taking away from the person. Because you're working his field and extracting fruit, which he just caused him a loss.
Say there's a Shama Socha, even though he wasn't specifically asked to be?
A Shama Socha. Yeah, but I don't know if there's such a thing as Shomer Socha on property.
He wasn't hired to be a Shomer Socha.
Yeah, I don't know if there's such a
thing. Made himself.
Right. I don't know if there's such a thing on property. But he had the idea. It's a similar idea. Right. Shomer Socha, a paid watchman. I don't know if that applies to property. It might only apply to,
not to real estate, but to objects.
Yeah. Okay. So name and the Kokan Shomer Socha. I think it only applies to real estate, to objects. Say them out further. Let's start again for Rashi Gamliel. Rashi Gamliel Omer. Rashi Gamliel Omer Rashi Gamliel. Shamati, I heard ain't Shvi and Natushin, that Shvi and Natushin the same status. Avo Nichse Ritushim, but Ritushim, Motim, Yoda, we take it away from him. Veilen, what Nichse Ritushim, what a Ritushim, Koshoach, Avivo, Echab, Echab, Mikol, Marishino, Solom, Dina, Sayam. And if one of these went, his father, his brother, or one of the people who could be bringing the money went to Chutz Laretz, Venya to Hechan Heim, and we don't know where they are. So then you might say that, well, let's let the inheritance pass on. You might say that not. If you wanted the inheritance to pass on, he would have said something to that effect. Okay? Says Gemara. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Shavli is Eshi Yotcha Shlola Das. I forgot what that means. Yeah, there's a way to read it. Shmuel Amar Shavli, a person they got to is Eshi Yotcha Shlola Das. And so he went out without any intent. Shlola Yotcha Das Yotcha, if he would have gone with intent, I'm a Tzaveu. It would have issued a command. Now, next word says notush, but the carbonate says it's supposed to be rotush, and that's evident. Rotush, zesha yotza ladas. He's a person who knew why it was going out, right? Tedelcha, and he had time. Tedelcha, this is indication to you. She'ilo haya rotza la'avricho min chosav.
Before,
that if he really wanted you to
take care of your property,
he would
ask you.
Because
he had time to ask you. Yeah, I'm not sure that's what the carbonator says. One
second. Well, let's try this, like you said. Shmuel Amar Shavi Zeshiyotu Shlodas, Shlodas Yotze Yemitzavei, Rotush Zeshiyotze Das, Sheda She'il Telecha, Shlodas was the Das, She'iloya Rotze. That obviously he was, since he had das and he didn't command you, obviously he was looking for an excuse, you know, and a ruse to get you away from his property. Not sure if that's actually what you're saying. It wasn't what you're saying, were you?
No.
Okay, but I think that that's what it means. Teilachos Eloi wrote that he's looking for a ruse to get his friend away from the property, right? Because he had time before he left to issue some commands. He went out with willfully. The low tivoy didn't make any commands. Okay, Rebbe and Rabbi Yehuda b'Shem Shmuel said, "Hamataltlin, movable objects, emem mishum nichsei retushim. There's no concept nichsei retushim by movable objects, meaning that anybody can go down and take them. Okay, because obviously the movable objects require much more safeguarding. So therefore, a person could say unilaterally, kind of." Declare himself to be in a situation everybody's a ratush, and if everybody's a ratush, then the opposite. We don't want people to be a ratushim.
Nobody wants them.
Yeah, retushim are when you had capacity of commanding something about your property, but you didn't. Right? That's a ratush. A shavli is somebody who was taken captive. Natush had to flee all of a sudden. A ratush, somebody had the capacity to say something, but he didn't say something right. So same, vizmi metalten, everybody's a ratush. Because vizmi metalten, everybody would have wanted to do something with it, right?
Talcum don't spoil.
And why would everybody be a rotush? No, exact opposite. I totally mixed up. There is no rotush. No rotush. That means anybody can grab the metathlin, because nobody can control their stock of metathlin. If I have real estate, I can control it. I know what I have. I know what my holdings are. I can deal with them. So therefore, I can say, if I didn't have time to say, so therefore we just assume that he wanted it to go among the heirs. If he did have time to say, then he should have said something. If he didn't say something, then it's right up among the heirs, right? But that's only because I'm afraid I get mixed up the cases, huh? Retushim, it's been a hard week. Retushim are people who had time to issue a command and didn't issue a command. By metalkalin, it's simply impossible to cover all your metalkalin. It's too difficult. The person has vast amounts of talent and are not properly cataloged and tracked. It's before computers, remember. So therefore, since that's the case, there's never a deed of retushin on Metaltalin. Because I could say he doesn't grasping the situation that he remembered this and didn't say anything to me. By kaka, by real estate, people make sure to know what's going on. And if he left at a leisurely pace and didn't tell anybody, so that means he didn't want to tell you anything. If he wanted to tell you anything, you don't go down to his property. That's a ratush, which bars you from taking the property, right? But by metaltalin, it's not possible for him to know everybody, right? Every piece of metaltalin which he has, right? So that's his saying, metaltalin mein bein mishum nichse ratusha means you get to keep it. Until he comes back and demands it, of course, but you get to keep it. Because it's not possible, or it's unlikely, that he thought of this and said, I'm not going to dispose of it because I don't want Yankel to get it, or I do want to dispose of it in a certain way because I want Yankel to get it, because there are just too many metaltalin to go through that cheshbon.
So with metaltalin, he never has the time to tell you.
Right.
Regardless of what.
Right, and that's why.
A captive or left quickly or.
Right, it's the same thing.
He never has the time to tell because he doesn't know what it is to tell you.
Right, that's right.
So therefore.
Wherever he never has the time to tell or can't tell, so then you can stay in the property. We give you the benefit of the doubt, you get to stay in the property. But wherever he did have time to tell you and didn't say anything to you, we say he holds your low life, and therefore he didn't want to talk to you or with him. I'm embellishing, yeah. Obviously, but so by metaphor, we say that he didn't have time ever to tell you, even because he didn't know of them. So therefore, even if he left leisurely, you still get to keep the property when you go. I mean, even if he left leisurely, you get to keep the property. Is that all clear?
It's not that logical.
I don't see why it's so illogical. I think it is logical. I think that the idea of Ratush is that he had time to say something. He didn't say something.
That I understand.
And by Metaltalin, he didn't have time. He didn't really have the time. So by regular Ratush, the reason, since he didn't say anything, we say, well, he doesn't want you to have it. He would have said something here. But maybe by Metaltalin, he really wanted you to have it.
It falls into the category of a
Kamash. Right, of a Natush and a Shavui. That's right. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay? So it says more further. He just said that. It's not ratush, which would mean that the guy who took it would have to give it back, but rather he gets to keep it. Rabbi Yaakov Rach Hashem, Rabbi Rav said, the halach is, of course, you can't make a land grab from one of these people who's coming back now from Chutz Lartz. You make a fruit grab, right? But so he says, even in Daklaya, Bebavel, the palm tree above it, lo tzrichim, which do not need the girsa in Yevamos is merakha. They don't need to be softened because the fruit is already ripe. Lo mistabra miyavnun, it makes no sense to say that they become anything other than kikomo metafiktor, grain which is about to be harvested, or fine mendosi botzer, or grapevines about to be harvested, to be cut down, and therefore, in these cases, of course, we say that it's as if the guy cut them down. Even if you didn't get around to it by the time the captive got back. But it's since the trees are fully ripe, it's as if he cut them down already. How luckily is it if he cut them down and he gets to keep the produce, which grew during that time. Okay? Says the come on further. Halach test. Lokas ab laksuba. If he didn't write for a ksuba. He didn't write a ksuba. They had chasna, they're running late. They didn't write a ksuba. So, Bsula gave him a sign. Bsula, the first time around, she gets 200. Mona, a widow, the second time around, Mona gets 100. Shul Tanai Basin. Now, even if you didn't write it, it's a Tanai Basin, then that's what you get. Kasul Hashav and Mona. He wrote for $100 worth. Taklim Sayim Zuz instead of 200 Zuz. Or, Velo Kasul Kona Chosin Disli Arklan Ksuva Sech, he didn't write it, all the private which you have is underneath the Ksuva. Chayav, he's still liable in all these things. Shul Tanai Basin, because it's a Tanai Basin, whether he writes or not, Basin has made his condition with Amisot that they have to abide by these rules. Okay? Says more further. Matnisa, our Mishnah, the right mayor, it's like our mayor. The mayor, mayor called Poiches, Absula, Messiah. Anybody who gives less than 200 zuz to a girl who's a Besula, who I money, 100 bucks less to the less than 100 bucks to a girl who's an Amara, a widow, I raise it! I raise to be a Bula's zuz. This is licentious behavior. Even if he's married to her, he's got to promise her 200 zuz if she was Besula and 100 zuz if she was an Amara. Okay? Furthermore, who's our Mishnah like when it says that he's always achroy, he's always responsible? I forgot Reb Meir, even though Reb Meir says, Shtashi b'achrayas mu'amad, nechosim, if the property doesn't say have a guarantee against property, ain't a goyve, you can't collect from property, moidu hachshuye u goyve, that's him by Ksuva. Ksuva, even it's not written down that she should get from property, she does, why? Because that's part of the Tanai, based in, right, part of Basin's condition.
Therefore, if he divorced
her,
there was no
ksuva,
he still has to pay the 200.
Absolutely. Locus of law, if he didn't write to her, the following condition of ksuva. If tishtabion, you're taken captive, of Arkinocha, redeem you, he's finach locha, and he'll take you back to me. Lead to his wife. With a kohanus, by a kohen, it's a kohen's wife, where of course she can't go back because she might have become raped or seduced or something like that. So then he just can guarantee, Adrin Tachlim in Dina Soch, I'm going to bring you back to your country. But not actually, of course, that he can live with her again. So if he didn't, even if he didn't write these phrases, in Ksuva Chayv, he must do so. She was my basin, it's a condition of basin. Nish Beis, if she's redeemed! She's taken captive. Chayv Livdos, the husband has to redeem her. Omai said, Aregi told Ksuva, so the husband is a nice guy. He says, here's a Ksuva, to Tifdes Atmo, let her go and redeem herself. I wash my hands of the whole affair. So Enoshai is not permitted to do so. However, Lux, if she becomes chronically ill, Chmona Litzlan, Chayv a place, he's got a healer. Omai Aregi told Ksuva, so the rabbi says, he says, this is her getting her Ksuva, let her go heal herself. Then Rashai is allowed to do so.
This is where it comes for better, for worse, in sickness and in health.
Yeah, but depends what kind of sickness, right? Okay, say that's enough further. Tani, we learned Yavama Shanish base. What happens if a Yavama, between Mamish connection to Yavamas and Ksuvas, I don't remember this from Yavamas and the Ujami. It says here, but it says here that it's in Ksuvas and the Bavli. A Yavama who was taken captive. And a Yashim Chavli Doiso. The Yashim, the heirs, do not have to redeem her. Now, this is despite the fact that she's in a state of Zika, right? She's Zakuk to Yavama. But we only see that husbands have to redeem wives, not that the heirs have to redeem the Yavamas. Where Chibarashi B'Shem Rav said, Lo so stubborn, it's not just Shinishmish B'Chaya Balo. Which taken captive in her husband's lifetime. Even if she was taken captive after the husband died, right? So then, her heirs are not required to redeem her. Okay?
Well, she's an ex sister in law, to the husband's brothers.
Right?
Yeah.
So they don't.
I don't know if it would be in that case. An ex sister in law?
The husband died.
Yeah.
But she's not a Zokah Kalihibra. There are children.
Yeah.
So the Gemara is saying that if she's taken captive, her husband.
No, then there's no Yibum.
Right. So. But there's no requirement to redeem.
No, that marriage is finished.
Yeah.
Okay, so even going to Bun, it's only when there still exists a Knas, right? The Yibum, right. There's still no. I don't even know what I wanted to say. Never mind. Tani, Bama Shishbe, Tani, Yoshim, Chayan, Livdosa. The Chibra Shem Ravash, Barashim, Shem Rav said, Losof Torah Shishbe, Chay Bala. And a few nishbeis la'achar misas about. It's not like if she was taken captive during her husband's lifetime. A few nishbeis la'achar misas about. Even if she was taken captive after the husband's death, so you figure it began in Zika and ended in Zika. So maybe the Yavam does have to redeem her in that case. He doesn't have to redeem her in that case as well. And he actually chayv l'tayso. Okay, is that clear? So says what Chibra Abba said. Matisa Masei LeRav. The Brisa seems to say like Rav that the Yevama does not have to be redeemed. Why so? Because it says Vasvina L'Chintu. It says I'm going to take you back from my wife. If she's only Yevama, there's no taking back to be a wife, right? Uvakahanas. Okay, so therefore that's one thing about our Mishnah. Next thing, Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah Uvakahanas Ajitach. It says, by Kohenet, he writes in the Ksuv, I'll bring you back to your country. What's your country? Mamashli Yishuv. Doesn't mean if she lived in Cleveland, you gotta bring her back to Cleveland. She lived in Pittsburgh, you gotta bring her back to Pittsburgh. She lived in Chicago, you gotta bring her back to Chicago. Can't she decide to go settle in the Sun Belt? So says the Gemara. No answer. And it's interesting, Allah is also in the Bible. Any wound which has a set healing price, for example, broken leg, whatever the insurance allows for that, so a set healing price, right? So since set healing price, on that, Misarpes Miksuv herself. She wants to heal herself. It's possible that she get divorced. Her husband will divorce her, and she'll have to heal herself from the sum of her ksuva. But if it's the type of cure which is chronic and has no end, then she's sustained from the property. Do you know why? Because if it has no end, it's like mazonos. Just like mazonos, the feeding of the woman has no end. So to medical treatment which is open ended is like mazonos. So we actually close to the property itself. Cute, huh? So, it says along these lines, a certain woman came from Rabbi Yochanan. And she needed to collect money for her doctor bills from her husband. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Katatu should be Asiyech. Is your doctor said he was trying to set free? Now, what he meant, though, the way he said it was not the way I said it. Is your doctor charging you set free? Like, he winked at her a lot when he said it. Because he wanted her to understand that it's bad for her to say a set fee. Because then it comes off her ksuva, right? Either he divorces her, I guess he can even compel her while she's still married to take it off her ksuva. But, so she understood the hint, and she said, hello! There's no set limit! So it should come from Amazonas. Says, wait a minute, what's going on here? This is not ethical. Look at my Chagai B'Shem Rishuv Levi. Chagai is the name of Rishuv Levi. Don't make yourself Rechmona Litzlam like a lawyer. Right? Not to reveal to an individual because he's for you what the best way to be meritorious in your court case is. Right? So what's he saying? Wink, wink, hint, hint. Is it yet? Does it have a limit? Does it not have a limit? So says, he knew that she was a kosher lady. She wasn't going to lie because of the hint he gave her. That's why he felt allowed to give her a hint.
Okay. He's trying to save her marriage.
Yeah, but what?
He's trying to save her marriage.
Marriage was all money.
The bottom line.
Yes.
Well, you're becoming more cynical than me.
It's the way it is. Only in love, in matters of love and marriage, love was a distant third. First was money. Then was, I get it, Peru, and finally love was some distant term. Okay. Look, I said, well, I didn't write ksuvas by dirchin. In other words, said, if you predeceased me, and if you have male children, you or the wife's ksuva will go to them. They will inherit the money of your ksuva. Yes, besides their portion, with their brothers, in my property. Nevertheless, he's got to give it. He's liable to do it. This is also a condition based as imposed upon the Jewish people. That's a Rabbi Ami, sir. He gets annoyed at me for asking the question. Let's see the new toy. Oh, that's the new toy? No. Kala gave him a watch. I never got a chassid watch. I'm jealous of you.
The woman who she talked to insisted, I said, must know about which one was the usual one.
No, it's a tradition. It's a tradition that the Kala
really?
Buys her husband a shas and a watch.
Shas?
A shas.
He bought me a talis and a kittle. I got it for her.
So you're way ahead of her.
I had two diamonds from Israel that were sitting around for 4 years.
Oh yeah.
Oh
but you're not way ahead.
Along
okay.
with,
but theoretically,
yeah.
theoretically, you're way ahead of her.
Thank
okay. So in any event, the Shas is very cheap, not because it wasn't. It was not. There was no precedent for buying whole sets of art scroll.
Right.
In the old days, the Shas could be gone. The Shas could be gone for $500 to $1,000. Now it's probably like $20,000. Mm-hmm. So. $3,000?
Well,
but it's only halfway out. How much is out?
Three-quarters.
Okay, it's a bargain.
Well, okay, 50 are out. There's
72 altogether. 50, oh wow. So, let's ask more. Do you have all of them? At home?
No,
how many
no,
articles do you have?
Two or something.
Whenever we bought.
So how much room does it take up on the shelf? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and you have most of them too, right?
All the
tippet tours. So
this? Yeah, I should have picked that up. So
well, it's all coming up.
What?
It's coming up. Oh, they were selling it here, Exodus?
Yeah, for $33.
Oh, so much
I
cheaper.
Think for a second.
Okay, you were
something.
No, we're not going to cheaper. Buy a bowl of food, that's one. Says more, hold the door, my Rabbi Yami. Rabbi Yami said, you know why we write Exodus by Indichrin? Because Kadeshi Odom Motsi Ten the Beetle by the office. So the father will give a larger dowry to his daughter. Because if he knows that the money potentially will go to his rotten son-in-law, there's no way he's ever going to give his daughter a large dowry. But if he knows the chance that his dear grandchildren will get it, if his daughter predeceases her husband, then he'll give her a large dowry. Okay? You nodded so not too assentingly when I said rotten son-in-law. Not nice. Okay. So it says, going to have you lit over there. Rabbi Yochanan Broko says, this is a little bit of a sidebar. This is going more about us. It says, Im Omra al Sharoy li Yorsho. You said on somebody who's suitable, we're 5 lines to the bottom.
Okay.
You said on somebody who's suitable to inherit you, Dvarv Kayomim. That's a stain. I'll explain this in a minute. Val Misha Enroy li Yorsho, we said about somebody who's not suitable to inherit you, Enroy Kayomim. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Broko says like this, he says there's wiggle room in allotting, in distributing or allocating, is probably the best word, inheritances. Now, it's theoretically, the Torah says divide up all your inheritances equally among your sons, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Yochanan Broko holds you can play with that. You can give one son more than the other. Besides the Bechor issue. You're not allowed to deprive the Bechor Pishnayim, but you can actually, you know, expand the contract with the other brothers, okay? So Rabbi Yochanan Broko holds, but even Rabbi Yochanan Broko only says more, that it has to be somebody who's suitable to inherit. But you can't decide to take your inheritance or give it to Shmerel, who's not your son. It has to be one of your children. Okay? So, or if you have no boys, one of your girls. If you have no girls, one of your brothers, and so on and so forth. Right? So, ben Broika, Ella ben Abonim. You can only give it to a son among sons. To a daughter among daughters. However, Bas Ben, it should be Ben Abonim. A daughter among sons, and she can inherit among them. Lo, in that case, it doesn't work. Ach ben abonah, she wants to give it to a brother. He wants to give it to the deceased husband, to a brother instead of his daughter's. Lo, it's also, you can't go down a notch. Rabbi Yatsu Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, my sohoyos, my tzavara, Rabbi, and Rabbi Pasuk, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. It has to be somebody who would, anyway, would be able to inherit theoretically. Says Rabbi Zira. At Rabbi Zira said, and they take out Rabbi Yasa here. But, what?
I see that.
Yeah. Rabbi Zira, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, that Shaul Rabbi is for Nosna Bavli, or Rabbi Shaul is for Nosna Bavli. Ask Nosna Bavli to Nosna Bavli. He asked him, my time, Amra Aloch Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Why this Aloch Rabbi Yochanan Broka? And also, Rabbi Chia B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, "Matam Shol this Nosan Abavli." He asked Rabbi Nosan Abavli the reason. Maru Chachoyim Lo Maraloch Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. So Nosan Abavli answered to Rabbi. He said, "Lo Arusha Shanisalanu." Didn't you tell us in your Mishnayos that you wrote, Cain, that Ksubas Bonim Dichrin is Yarsun? See, it says in the Mishnah here. They inherit the money of your ksuva. Is this really an inheritance?
No.
It's not. They're giving the money of the ksuva as a gift, right?
Right?
But he wrote inheritance. So since he wrote inheritance.
He died.
What?
So inheritance is when the person dies. So here
But one second, the husband writes it. So what we see here, though, is that he can play with inheritances. That's why Pascha Gil Ben Broca. Because you can give your children from this wife more than you give your other children from other wives. Oh. So you see, you can play with inheritance. That's why Pascha Gil Ben Broca, right? Says the Gemara, Amar Leih. So Rebbe said, oh, wrong kirsa in my Mishnah. You see, you didn't read the book properly. Yitlun, it says they get. It's a gift. It's not a Yerusha Tanis. So therefore, it says Yarsin in our Mishnah. We're not finished yet. Asa, it should be Lagabe Bray. So Rishim ben Rav Nasa Bavi came to Rebbe's son. Amarlet, and Rebbe's son also. Rebbe Shim ben Rebbe told me, Leiskan Yarsin Hel Yatlun. No, you're wrong here. So the Mishnah. Mishnah doesn't say Yarsin, it says Yatlun. Asa Lagabe Yavoi. So Rabbi Shimon came, Shimon the son of Rebbe came to his father Rebbe and said, hey, Ta! I told him it says Yitlun, just like you said, right? Armalei said, oy vey, kipachto es nasin abavli. You shortchanged nasin abavli. The truth is, leis kan yatlun eliyarsun. In the final analysis, when he wrote the Mishnah, he wrote Yarsun. Because he agrees with the Rebbe Nosson Abavi, he said that this taki is a form of Yerusha, to designate part of your property additional to what they should have gotten to certain of your children, and it would be, in fact, a proof for Rabbi Yochanan Broca. I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Bud, Achin Amalei. This is what he said to his son. Rabbi said to his son, Toast, Taisi, Toast, I made a mistake. Shoshanisi Lachem, they taught you, Leis Kan Yatlun Eliyarsun, that it's not. I'm sorry. Leis kan yadlun. It's not yadlun el yarsun, but rather it's yarsun. Rabbi Zira said, "Kala b'tanai k'suva." You know, there's a leniency by tanai k'suva. What's the leniency? Shibuchom fishim b'chom makom. Tanai k'suva are these things like that k'suvas b'rim dirchay and stuff like that. Where there's say addenda.
Tanai
based. Right.
Tanai based.
Right. Addenda attached to k'suva, such as you know, you have to redeem or stuff like that. So, Lefisha Bechomakom, generally speaking, Ein Adam Mizake Ela Biksuva or Biksuva. A person can only be Mizake a Ksuva, right?
I skip?
Ein Adam Mizake Ela Mishu.
No, it's the next line. Yeah. It says, what? Yeah, we need to have a written agreement. The kind of feel bit for him here works even with the statement. And also, if that's the way tonight's tool works, even verbally, it doesn't have to be written down. We saw it already several times, even though it's not written down. And also, if you should come everywhere, you can only give, if you're giving a gift, you can only give to people who are alive. The comp, but here, you can give just like Yerusha, you can give it to somebody who doesn't yet exist. Okay? On Rabbi Yerakun, Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Yerakun said in front of Rabbi Zira, Utmiyani, I'm astounded. Ech, Abonim Adam, Ksuvali Yerusha. How could the rabbis have wanted to bring proof from our Mishnah's language of Yerusha to Ksuva? Lodami, there's no comparison. Yerusha Midvar Torah, Yerusha is the Raisa. Ksuva is Rabbi Yerakun, Ksuva is Rabbanan. The Tamar Achay, and even if you don't want to say like that, you want to say a few Tamar Ksuvas Midivrei Torah Ksuvas the Raisa Lo Moda but Tanai Ksuva, doesn't everybody agree by Tanai Ksuva Shemidivreim? Tanai Ksuva is the Rabbanan. So therefore, in fact, the obviously if the Tanai Ksuva is Mid Rabbanan, so therefore the rabbis actually are tempering. I'm not sure if the I'm not sure exactly how this works, but what he's saying is that since these are all the rabbanans, you can't learn anything about here about uprooting Yerusha by din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broca, because it could be once the din of Rabbanan Ksuvah is instituted with all sorts of parameters. But that's specifically this much more highly developed area of halacha, the more basic area of halacha, such as say the case in Yevamos, which is being discussed there. The case over there is a case of not Yevamos, which is being discussed. I don't know what's being discussed. Bo Basra. There, the Yochum and Broca says you can give the different Yerusha, you can expand and contract Yerushas, right? Well, he's saying that the Raisa, you can expand one person's Yerusha to the expense of somebody else, or contract one person's Yerusha to the expense of somebody else. He's trying to say the Raisa you can do that. There's no proof from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about the Rabbana. The whole concept of ksuva, giving back, giving ksuva to a woman, even her own dowry back there is all the Rabbana, right? So who says the parameters can be extrapolated from one to the other? There might be entirely different parameters altogether. So therefore he's saying that you cannot, if you want to paskin Yochum ben Broca, you can't use your source text, a case where we paskin that like in a Dover de Rabbanon, that you can reassign the ksuva through ksuva's body different. Could be by ksuva, which is anyway the Rabbanon, you can reassign it. But by Yerusha, which is the Raisa, who says you can reassign it based on your will and whim? It's not necessarily comparable with the other, it's apples and oranges. Okay? So that's how the Gemara concludes. That we want to say that the fact we say here, Yarsim, by Ksuvas Bain Dichrin, and he allots to the Ksuvas Bain Dichrin to these women more than they should have gotten, right? Not to themselves, but their heirs, the kids who survived them. So it must be that we learn from there that you pass on Yochum and Broca, that you can reassess, redistribute, reallocate the wealth which you have to give over to your estate. So therefore it says, no, not necessarily so. It could be that here you can change because it includes the Rabbanim, but not anywhere where we're talking about the Reis Halacha, such as changing the nature of Yerusha. Okay? Now along these lines further, the female children you have for me, Ian, this is where the husband writes in the Ksuha, Ian and Tevin and Yasin basically going to sit in my house, or meet them in the chosin, they'll be sustained from my property, I'd use Nas from the Guvain until they marry men. Chayim, if you forgot, didn't leave this, didn't write this in, he has to do it anyway. Shoot tonight, Ksuha basin is also tonight basin. Or Rechista, Rechista said, Rechista Amar, Bagru, Ivdu Mizonos, they only have fed until they become 12 and a half. Nisu, if they got married also after 12 and a half of the parasos, they don't get the dowry, which in the case of a Yusoyim is generally 10% of the estate. Tanakh said, no. Bagru velo Nisu, if they became over 12 and a half and were not married, or Nisu velo Bagru, or they got married without doing, or without becoming 12 and a half, Ivdu Mizonosan, they lose their sustenance, loy du parasosan, but the right to the dowry they still have. Rabbi Avishem Hila said, Umodim lahach, they can see to this case. But a certain woman who's a widow, she tovas mina yorshim, who demands from the heirs her portion. She says, I didn't receive my ksuva. Vayoshim, the heirs say, Niskabal ksuva, say, receives the ksuva. Achloni says, before she got married, you go down Marv, because I stayed till after this year. Even before she got married, Hayyoshim Tzichim Levi Raya Shnei Skabel Ksuvasa. Even before she got married to somebody else, of course, right? Her first husband died. She's sitting in the house and saying, I didn't get my ksuva. And the heir said they did give her ksuva. So even before she married a second guy, the heir's got to bring a Raya Shnei Skabel Ksuvasa that she got her ksuva, because we don't assume she paid. They didn't have to pay it. Why would they pay? You don't pay unless you have to pay. Nises, however, if she already got married to a second husband, she has to bring a proof herself, that she had not received her ksuva. Says the Gemara of Atzina, and then we learn, Yusoma, Shisiyah Imoachah, a woman, a girl who's an orphan, was married by her mother or by her brothers. Because of the Shmev Chamish Mizuz, and they wrote her 150 Zuz as a dowry. Yechayli Misha Takdil, she can, when she becomes an adult, take that 150 bucks from the hands. Now, says Gemara, clearly, time, or why could she take the money when she becomes an adult? Precisely because she was a ketana when the reward was rewarded. Hagadayla, but if she was ready a gadayla at the time the reward was rewarded, then vitra. Then, of course, she must have been moichel, as she had not demanded at the time when she could have demanded it. Right? So it says Zumar, first of all, it's a question. What's the question? The question is that we said before that what we believe is Amana, right? until she gets remarried. And then afterwards, we say that we believe the Yarshim after she gets married, right? So what does it say here? It says that, it says indiscriminately that only if she's a Ktana, if she's a Yisrael who's married off by a mother or a brother, then when she grows up, she can get out of them the money. But if she was a Gdola, then she can't get out of them the money. Right? If she's a Gdola at the time that, if she's a Gdola at the time that
she's essentially
she gets married.
Isn't she doing Minyan?
It's the opposite of Minyan. She's marrying. She's marrying. She wants a dowry. No, she wants a dowry from her parents. So that's the same. We say that. We said before at the Kohen of Rabbi Chiya that even if she grew up, she can still demand it. Even if she got married when she was an old lady of 13, she can still demand her dowry. And then Rabbi Chista argued. Rabbi Chista, no, she can't. The moment she goes over 12 and a half, she loses all potential of a dowry. So here we're trying to argue the dowry issue, right? Again, let's say again, 6 lines on the bottom. But if she is an orphan, was married off by her mother or her brother, because 150 zuz was her ksuva, she can, when she becomes an adult, take the money. She can sue her parent, her mother and her brother, right? So we say time of the ktana. It sounds like the only reason why she can sue is because she was a ktana at the time she got married. If she was an adult at the time she got married, maybe she gave up for all her rights to it's too late. She already gave up her rights to get the dowry. So it says more no. You part the resolve like this. The only time she gives up her rights to get the dowry, even then she doesn't give her rights, but she has to prove that she didn't get the dowry, is shenata miktas, where she already took part of it. So then she has proved she wasn't completely paid up. If a b'chor took only, the b'chor could have taken double, only took a single portion, as if he was a regular brother. But chazak aviter, we assume that he gave up. So to hear, I assume that she gave up if she took part of it. And therefore, if she wants to get more, she has to prove that she didn't give up. She wasn't mitzvah from the son. Vote furthermore, odi, shenata amiktas. Actually, this odi is that. Actually, what I wrote here on the side of my board isn't correct. So. So he says, Gemara says, no, it's not comparable. Here, over there by Bechor, who took only like a portion, the reason why he's Meichel altogether, what's indicative of his Meichel is the fact that he didn't take anything extra. That's why he's Meichel. But here, if a girl takes part of her dowry, so that's not as if she took. I'm not sure I can express this properly. Let me try. The Gemara says here the fact that she only took part of it should not be a mechila. There, the fact that a bechor took like a simple fellow should be a mechila. Because the Bechor had the right to take double, and he took only one portion. He didn't take anything which indicates he's a Bechor. He didn't step over any of the boundaries which would indicate he's a Bechor. He wasn't even Noitel Mixas, he was Noitel Klum. He took nothing, because he took nothing what a Bechor would take. But here, in our case over here, if after she got divorced, or widowed, actually, so after she got widowed, she took part of her ksuva, that should not mean that she was moichel the rest. And that should not be a reason why the burden of proof shifts to her. So you want to say the burden shifts proof shifts to her because she took part of it. That's not necessarily true. On Rabbi Yossi Barabun, on Rabbi Yossi Barabun, lo notal zem ibchor so klum. Right? It's not comparable, again, because she took part of it, but the b'chor never took any of it. That's why that's different, that there's mechila. Asalov the Kumi Rabbi Mara, so case came from Rabbi Mara. Uva me'av the kada Rav Chista wanted to pass on the Rav Chista that after the girls grow up, they lose their dowry. Amar le Rabbi China, Rav Chista said no. V'atani Rabbi China, didn't we learn Rabbi Chia said, but in a brisa, Bagavlo Nisu Nisulo Bagru, of the Menor Zonosa. If they're over 12 and a half and not yet married, then, or if they got married before 12 and a half, then they lose their sustenance. Love the parasustenance, but the dowry is deliverable forever and ever. Amalisi says, Anam Reishmua. You know what? I said, like Rav Chisli Paskin, that they lose the dowry in the over 12 and a half. Vat Amar Masnisa, you studied a brisa. I'm Michael. I mean, I renege. I throw in the hat. Tibat El Shmua, my statement of Amroim is canceled Mekame Masnisa before your brisa. And therefore, in fact, what comes out is that Lemaisa, we agree that they can get their dowry even if they get married later. Okay? Now, the next to Halacha Yigimel is actually going to Mishnah, the more up to Halacha Yigimel is actually relevant to after Halacha Yigimel, but let's go anyway up to Halacha Yigimel, then stop. Rayim Barachia, Boy Kumi Rabbi Zira. Boy Oda Beis Aviyah, when does the Ksuba start taking? From the time you get married, right? Which is Nisuin. What if he had relations with her while she was still in her father's house? Does the Ksuba obligation start ticking from the time he first had relations with her, you know, like in Yehuda? Does it happen from the first had relations with her, only from the time she enters his house? So, Bolea, Oda Vesavia, Me'achshon, Niskayim, Mutunai Ksuba. Does the Tunai Ksuba kick it then? Oen El Adar, Nisuna, only after the full marriage? No answer. Rabbum, Rachia, Boykum, Rabbi Zira. Machla Ksuba, Samau. If she was Moichel the Ksuba, what about the Tunai Ksuba, which go with that, was she Moichel that too? So says more, no, schusa ivda, she lost her own schus, schus banea lo ivda, she didn't lose her children's schus. Okay.